It was once said, I have a dream. And now, many years after those famous words were used during a speech, certainly race relations have gotten better. But have race relations improved under Obama? We'll talk about that a little bit. A couple of other issues or topics. A very, very strong thunderstorm passed through here over the weekend and actually took out a road. Over an inch of rain in that, 1.12 inches, I think, fell in that. May have been related to the California storms. The other things going on. Rejection of Donald Trump and his legitimacy by the left, not because of anything he did to win, but because he's an unacceptable candidate, according to John Lewis, who is a part of the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr., has said that he will not accept him and he will never be legitimate in his eyes, which is kind of a very strange way to look at life. But I mean, the only legitimate candidate is your own. And then we had some playoff games over the weekend, and there were a couple of spectacular games yesterday in which in a truly epic shootout between the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys. And then the same thing again, another shootout at the end of the game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Steelers. So got a lot to talk about. Now here is a little bit of Martin Luther King, I've Been to the Mountaintop speech to start off for you.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest. All right. And so just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Well, you got to admit, he could give a speech. Now, the question is that's been asked by a lot of folks is, are we better off in terms of race after Obama came in, or worse? And I have a very strong suspicion that Obama, if he saw the numbers, which I saw yesterday, and I believe when he came into office, 62% of the people thought that race relations were good or improving, and 22% thought they were bad. That has actually been turned on its head. Maybe it was 32%, but it seemed like it was 22%. That's been turned on its head. Now 22% of people believe that race relations in America are good or improving, and now 62 or 63% believe that it's worse. And so what was the point of having Obama come in here? And I'm sure that if you talk to him or he gave a speech on this, that he would tell you that there was always massive problems with race and that we've only begun to face them. And by facing them, we have become acquainted with reality. And my response to that would be, what was the Civil War about? What was the Civil Rights Act about? If you pretend that every day is worse than the day before, then you're misleading people as to the history of race relations, number one, and number two, you're sowing seeds of dissent. But anyway, just my take on it. 613 Kelly O'Connell. Happy Martin Luther King Day for you. And here's a little something from Dion.
I would take my mental flight here, see my old friend Abraham. Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems good they die young. You know, I just look around and he's gone.
Hello?
Yeah, Kelly?
Hello? Hello, this is Kelly?
Yeah, Kelly.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, it's Tom. The guy who played Jaime the robot on Get Smart.
Okay.
He died yesterday. Could you play a Kill Destroy clip for him?
I'll see if I can find some. Thank you.
Okay,
fine. Bye-bye. All right, so in any event, I was mentioning the storm, which if you were in town, you experienced Friday night coming in really incredible, or was it Saturday night, but really an unbelievable storm that came in, and with lightning and thunder and wind and rain and hail, and so let me do a little clip here from that. KVIA wiped out a road in town. And so apparently, though, there was a little bit of help from the school that was next door to it. And this thing will load in a minute. But so anyway, let me ask you something. We're better off or worse? Better off or worse, what is the situation on race? I mean, I feel like basically, this is just my impression, is that it's worse And I don't buy into this notion that things have gotten better because we're finally starting to be honest about race. I don't buy into that. I mean, I think it's just another tactic from Obama. I mean, Obama really looks exposed here. And I was wondering, you know, you always wonder these people that are on the far left, when they applied their ideas, what did they think the outcome was going to be? You know, you apply your ideas for socialism, the economy sags. And in this, actually, in this case, you know, we haven't had a real strong economy for the last 8 years. And, I mean, is that what Obama wanted? Apparently it is, because he kept up with his policies. And now we see, even before Trump coming in, that the economy is starting to wake up. But is he satisfied? He doesn't like capitalism. So does he care that the poor are inordinately harmed during financial collapses, downtimes? Does he care about that? I mean, these people on the far left are so caught up in their ideas that it's like they don't have any, you know, the only thing they care about is their ideas, their socialist ideas. They don't have any feelings left over for the average person who actually pays the price. But anyway, here's Obama talking about race. Race relations, and this is from January 10, 2017.
Talk of a post-racial America. And such a vision, however well-intended, was never realistic. Race remains a potent and often divisive force in our society. Now, I've lived long enough to know that race relations are better than they were 10 or 20 or 30 years ago, no matter what some folks say. You can see it not just in statistics. You see it in the attitudes of young Americans across the political spectrum. But we're not where we need to be. And all of us have more work to do. If every economic issue is framed as a struggle between a hardworking white middle class and an undeserving minority, then workers of all shades are going to be left fighting for scraps while the wealthy withdraw further into their private enclaves. If we're unwilling to invest in the children of immigrants just because they don't look like us, we will diminish the prospects of our own children, because those brown kids will represent a larger and larger share of America's workforce. And we have shown that our economy doesn't have to be a zero-sum game. Last year, incomes rose for all races, all age groups, for men and for women. So if we're going to be serious about race going forward, we need to uphold laws against discrimination in hiring and in housing and in education and in the criminal justice system. That is what our Constitution and our highest ideals require. Regardless of the station that we occupy, we all have to try harder. We all have to start with the premise that each of our fellow citizens loves this country just as much as we do, that they value hard work and family just like we do, that their children are just as curious and hopeful and worthy of love as our own.
All right. So, I mean, you know, everybody has to make up their own mind on this stuff, but the topic here is whether race relations are better or worse. I mean, you know, it's at some point you got to just get along with people. And if you're constantly putting out the idea that America is unfair, that, you know, the people in the establishment or white people or whatever don't care about blacks. It's puts that idea in people's mind, and then if you put out the notion that the police are racist, that puts out another idea. And you know, when the president gets up and says, we need to stop, you know, lashing out at the police, but there's two sides to the coin, and it would be safer if the police got up and admitted that they're not perfect, and they also struggle with race issues. I think if the police in general got up and admitted that, it would be a disaster. There would be an immediate backlash from these black advocacy groups and Black Lives Matters and everything. And it would make things less safe, you know? So I think that Obama, you can't play both sides of the coin. You can't pretend to be the race uniter while at the same time stirring up the issue of race during every opportunity. So anyway, here is Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, which is a go-to point, a foundational moment in America's history for a lot of people.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, my country tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring. And when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Okay, there is... That's quite a moment in U.S. history, of course. And so we're lucky to have had leaders like Martin Luther King Jr., who I believe if he were alive today and still had the ideas that he had when he was marching, would be opposed to the type of lazy and completely complacent and self-satisfied racial talk that the president has been into. It's really terrible to have seen this guy come in and then completely blow his chance and see that race relations are literally, according to polling, twice as bad as they were 8 or 10 years ago. I mean, it's pretty pathetic, really. And you can't pretend that everything is just the basis of a lack of insight, you know. Anyway, we'll take a break here and come back for a little bit more analysis on race in America, celebrating Martin Luther King Jr.'s holiday.
Anybody here seen my old friend John? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems good they die young. I just looked around and he's gone.
Okay, so anyway, what do you think of race in America? 523-1450. I am just curious what you think, if it's better or worse. I mean, what I disagree with and what I resent is this idea that no matter what your experience is or your ideas or my ideas and experience, this president knows better than we do, and things are pretty crappy, and that these people have to get involved in things like Black Lives Matter to make things better when they're transparently making them worse. Just because you believe in a certain philosophy, sociology, or sociology for that matter is probably a belief system of into itself, but socialism, just because you happen to believe in socialism doesn't make everything that you say true. And doesn't make your opinion the only correct one and everybody else is false. I mean, we all have our own experience and beliefs, and yeah, you know, it's I think it's realistic to come to the conclusion that while Obama may have come in as a person who sold himself on being post-racial and a uniter, not a divider, that he didn't do that at all, and it was just a trick on his part to get into power. So here's a little bit from Al Jazeera in English on this issue.
The historic moment 8 years ago, the election of the first black president of the United States, and hope that it would usher in the beginning of a new era of racial acceptance and equality in America. But it was not to be. Instead, the true depth of the racial divide in the U.S. was exposed. Tensions over numerous killings of African Americans by police provoked protests in many cities that led to the Black Lives Matter movement. When Trayvon Martin, an unarmed black teenager, was shot and killed in 2011 by a white security guard who was later acquitted, Obama was thrust into a national debate on racial profiling.
When Trayvon Martin was first shot, I said that this could have been my son.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
He took a public stance against racism, singing Amazing Grace at an all-black church in Charleston after a gunman killed 9 in a hate crime.
But most black Americans say it's an unfair criminal justice system they hoped Obama could fix.
While there were some sweeping reforms and civil rights violations in law enforcement, Professor Kelly Jackson says neither race relations nor economic progress for blacks has improved.
When we think about where we are today, I realize that much of what we are experiencing in terms of race relations is a backlash from his presidency. I think that people are more disturbed and more disheartened by the results of his presidency than they are encouraged about the future.
Obama had his own brush-ups with that backlash while addressing a joint session of Congress less than a year into his presidency. He was heckled by a white lawmaker. And then, of course, he was even forced to produce his birth certificate.
Yes, in fact, I was born in Hawaii, August 4th, 1961, in Kapi'olani Hospital.
It was seen by many as an attempt to delegitimize and disrespect a black president.
I think that there are structural inequalities in this nation that have to be addressed.
Obama clearly made his mark as the first black president, but his legacy on race relations, not as simple as black and white. Gabriel Elizondo, Al Jazeera, New York.
How about this? He said he was going to address race in a positive way, and he didn't. It was a negative, from a negative direction, and he failed. How about that? I mean, what is so deep about this guy? I mean, I see that there's a certain amount of chess playing that he's been doing since he was in office, but he's not the chess player that he thought he was. He's leaving office discredited in terms of economics. He's leaving office discredited in terms of his reputation on the international stage. And frankly, I think it's obvious that he's leaving office discredited in terms of being a race uniter. And this idea that he had to bring war, which is according to a lot of these people, Black Lives Matter mentality people, you have to bring a war to then have peace. We had our war. It's called the Civil War. 600 or more, 100,000, 750,000, at least 600,000, but I mean, the aftermath of the war, certainly many more people died. So let's call it 750,000 people died. It's our greatest, most costly war to get rid of race, race laws and slavery, and this idea that America hasn't suffered enough and had to come through a new round of suffering so we could be made aware of race. How about this? How about somebody comes in and says, I don't care what color you are, I care about what kind of a person you are. What if the president had said something along those lines, that the purpose that I have, you know, the reason that I've come here is to to bring healing and make it less likely that we will judge other people by their race. In my opinion, it's made it more, you know, it's made blacks stand out in a worse way under Obama. I mean, just that's my impression. But I mean, you know, you can pretend that the sky is green for only so long before somebody comes along and says it's actually not true. So anyway, take another break here and we'll come back and look at the negative side of the race aspect of the presidency. His time is over. He shouldn't be setting up shop in D.C. to try to make the little bit of change that he brought in stick. He should admit to himself that he failed. He had a wrong idea. He should have listened to other people. And one of the things he failed on is he really should have been post-racial. 643, 644 on the button, Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450 AM, Las Cruces.
Anybody here seen my old friend Martin?
So anyway, I think if we admit where we're at right now, then we can head into the future. We can get oriented and I think that, you know, if it's an obvious point, but as opposed to pretending that Obama was this great president that future generations will have to grapple with what a incredible leader he was and all of these great things that we couldn't really accept at the time because we weren't advanced enough. How about this? He smelled like a failure. He walked like a failure. He acted like a failure. He was a failure. He didn't have the plan to bring us forward. And the reason that he didn't is because it wasn't within his ideas. It's not that Obama didn't have the capability or the theoretical talent or to bring forward a victorious or a successful presidency. It's just that he didn't have it in his beliefs, but it wasn't one of his priorities. Whatever future generations make of his presidency, we've lived through it, and you could see the entire time that he was dragging his feet, that he was passive aggressive, or that he was resentful, or he had this surface talk that he gave, and then underneath that was the real story, and the real story was that he didn't really like America. Now, here's a little clip from, let's see here. Here's a little clip from, and this is about a year ago, from Hannity. And he's talking to Geraldo, how nine ways President Obama failed to improve race relations in America.
That said, oh, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon and rush to judgment wrongly in that case, or in the Michael Brown case, or the Cambridge police acted stupidly. Rushing to judgment, three-time loser, wrong, without having any facts, I would argue just the opposite of what he said is true.
And I surprisingly maybe agree with you. I think that the president has gotten involved in racial matters. First, hello to you and the sheriff. Has gotten involved in racial matters only when the African-American person is portrayed as the victim, whether it's Trayvon Martin or Michael Brown or any of the others. He jumps in and the classic NAACP, we are victims, woe is us, take care of this situation. To me, the president has failed most profoundly in the area of race relations. Why? Because the problem, yes, there is a terrible problem with police brutality, but it pales in comparison to the ghetto civil war that's going on. This black-on-black violence is not to be ignored. It's not to be minimized. And I have never seen the president get engaged when it was an African-American killing another African-American, or two gangs killing, and an eight-year-old is killed
in the crossfire.
Where he should be.
Why years ago, Sheriff Clark, didn't he get on a plane, Air Force One, go to Chicago, his own home city and town, and say something? You gave out statistics the last time you were on the program about police and shootings in the black community versus black-on-black crime. Do you remember those numbers?
Not off the top of my head, but I want to correct Geraldo on something he said about police brutality. As it's being defined, no, it's not a pervasive problem in America, Geraldo. You know better than that. But as for President Obama, he is hallucinating if he thinks he has improved race relations in America. The polling shows otherwise. He's delusional if he really believes that. Look, race relations have always been tenuous in America. Slavery and discrimination have left an ugly scar on the soul of America, but that scar has been healing over the years. President Obama came along with sandpaper, rubbed it raw, and then poured salt in it to inflame it for political gain. He doesn't believe that, and neither does anybody else.
I think that's way too harsh, Sheriff. And nobody, I don't take a backseat to anybody when it comes to supporting the thin blue line. I was at the funeral of Randolph Holmes. I wasn't working. I just went to show my support those cops that I believe in with all my heart and soul. But you cannot deny that there are black moms out there who fear their child running into cops more than they fear their child running into crooks. Rightly or wrongly, there is enough evidence to suggest
that
this
emotion,
is a problem.
Geraldo,
we should pay some attention.
That is emotion. That's anecdotal. Show me who they are. Show me what they are engaged in. Let's have a reasonable conversation minus the emotion and the anecdotal claims that I'm always hearing about.
Well, when you talk about anecdote, I'm from Avenue C. I was a lawyer in the South Bronx and the Lower East Side. When I give you anecdotes, it's from personal eyewitness experience. I think that these problems are manageable. I think the president should do his best, his utmost in the last year in office to be the bridge between the black and the blue communities. That's what we need.
But he hasn't been.
He hasn't
okay,
been. And it is dead, and that is his failing. Sheriff, real quick.
Fine. Let's see the documented claims that we can.
Where does
inside,
it come from?
Drill down inside, peel the layers back.
Was it my refusal?
Anecdotal claims and claims based on emotion. This driving while black. The stuff that Mike Brown was a victim of police brutality.
I was with John on the Mike Brown thing.
Of trying to disarm a law enforcement officer.
I think when the president rushes to judgment, like he did in these high-profile cases, he has created a narrative that hurts the community. But I got to take a break.
So there is an angle on it. And for if 523-1450, if you... You think I'm being unfair on this? Here's a little bit more. I think we have time to squeeze it in here. How race relations have worsened under Obama. And this is from 6 days ago.
My next guest says race relations are actually worse after 8 years of America's first black president. And she voted for Obama twice. She's Independent Journal Review's Antonia Okafor. She joins me now. Good to see you, Antonia. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So we've had six major race riots on the president's watch. And you remember that New York Times CBS poll last summer that said 70% of the people who responded said race relations had plummeted to lows not seen since the Rodney King case in 1992. So how can Obama say race relations are better?
Well, the thing is, he can't. He can definitely do it already. I mean, he's done it, and I'm sure people are going to believe him. Sadly, but you know, the facts are the facts. And within African Americans, in 2008, they said that 61% of them thought that the relationship between whites and blacks was actually favorable. But then in 2017, it's plummeted to 49%. And so obviously, there's a disconnect between what President Obama is saying that, you know, racial relations are better. And then we're seeing on TV continuously that proves the opposite.
Antonia, do you regret voting for President Obama?
I regret definitely voting for someone based on the person and not the policies. I definitely regret the fact that I didn't look further into the future and to see that the policies that he implemented, that he championed, were not only detrimental to my generation, you know, as a millennial and as a young person, but especially as a Black person. You know, unemployment rates have continued to be in the double digits until 2015, and including during his administration. And so, and it just has just gone down now since we've had in 2016, 2017, but it's continuing to be increasingly more than other people, other races. And so I think it's really sad to see the fact that the facts continue to show that African Americans are not doing well and continue to decline. And he continues to lie and say that we are.
Thank you, Antonia Okafor. We really love having you on the show. Please come back soon, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks
Thank you
again
for having me.
All right. So are things better or worse? I mean, you could talk about I'm trying to queue up another clip here. One more clip here. And this is from CNN.
An ORC poll just out tonight has some bad news for President Barack Obama on race relations.
October 5, 2016.
CNN Justice Correspondent Pamela Brown. Pamela, good evening to you. Give us the headlines from this new poll.
Well, good evening, John. This new CNN ORC poll is striking in that it shows a majority of Americans, 54%, say relations between Blacks and whites in the U.S. have worsened under President Barack Obama, 57% whites and 40% Blacks. So to put that into perspective, Don, right after the racially motivated shooting at a Black church in Charleston, South Carolina last summer, 43% said race relations had gotten worse. So that number has spiked more than 10 points since then. And this poll also shows an increasing number of Americans say that discrimination against Blacks is a very serious problem and concerns about bias in the criminal justice system remains widespread. A majority, 52%, says the criminal justice system in the U.S. favors whites over Blacks. And the results show about three quarters of Blacks and half of whites feel the system favors whites, despite criminal justice reform efforts by the Department of Justice and the Obama administration.
So certainly what I'm saying is true, that if you talk to Obama off the record, he would say, I had to do that to focus on the problem. But the real issue is, if you, by focusing on the problem, make the problem worse, you're not doing anything. I mean, if you, or if he has done things to make people less trusting of one another, more suspicious, more likely to lash out, then he's put down a foundation for race war or a race struggle. So that's not why he came. That's not what he said he was going to do when he came into office. 6:59, Kelly O'Connell, take a break on the hour. Happy MLK Day.
Martin, can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems good they die young. I just look around, he's gone. Didn't you love the things that they stood for? Didn't they try to find some good in you and me? Then we'll be free.
Well, good morning, 7:06, and it is the 16th. It's Martin Luther King Day, and we're talking about somewhat the history of Martin Luther King, but also what's going on now, and what would Martin Luther King think of race relations today in America, and what would he think of Obama? Now, according to, and this is, let me get a date on this for you, April 2016, so about a year ago, there was a poll done by Gallup, and it said that according to the people that were polled, 35% of Americans worry a great deal about race, up 7 points from last year, or the year before, doubling since 2014, hitting the highest percentage since Gallup began posing the question in 2001. Democrats by 37%, liberals by 42%, and blacks by 53% were more likely than Republicans, 26%. Conservatives at 28% and whites 27% to say they worry a great deal about U.S. race relations. Prior to 2015, race relations were much less of a concern to Americans relative to other issues. In almost every one of the 13 polls from 2001 to 2014, Americans were significantly less likely to be worried about race relations than about any of the dozens or other issues. Dozens or more. So I'm sure, you know, Obama's not the kind of guy to admit he was wrong. So isn't he going to say that he's succeeded, that he can't really talk about it, but he succeeded in showing people how bad things are in race relations in America, and that he had to point out this back before it could get better. July 15 to 23rd, New York Times CBS News poll, 65% of blacks and 62% of whites said race relations were getting more troubling. And millennials fearing that race relations could get worse. And that's from October 30th, 2016, the Harvard Political Review. And so this says, despite Obama's optimism, new data. Well, what Obama said was in paying tribute to the five police officers slain in the Dallas mass shooting earlier this year, Obama urged people not to despair, and over the nation's divide, he says, I'm here to insist that we're not as divided as we might seem. I know that because I know America. I know how far we've come against impossible odds. And then it says, but despite Obama's optimism, new data from the fall of 2016 Harvard Public Opinion Project poll shows an overwhelming 78% of youth are very or somewhat concerned about the state of race relations in America. And a July poll from the New York Times and CBS News found that 69% of Americans believe race relations are generally bad, a proportion not seen since the Rodney King verdict. So I will guarantee you that, believe it or not, if you talk to Obama, he would tell you, you've got to have a war before you have peace. Something along those lines. And he would say something along the lines of, yeah, people are more concerned about race because they're just starting to accept the fact that we've got a huge problem with race. In other words, building up the problem in people's minds and then using that as proof that things are bad. Now, do you accept that type of thing? I don't. I think that in putting a spotlight on a problem, you can make the problem worse. And I think that's exactly what Obama is. And I mean, when he gets up and says, stop attacking the police. And by the way, if the police admitted how, you know, admitted that they were also at fault, it would make the country safer. He's just antagonizing and stirring up these bad feelings. You know, Obama never really embraced the role of president as an unbiased leader. He's been the most biased president we've ever seen because he only represents the Democratic Party. He only represents far leftism. But even if far leftism was generally correct, let's just say a hypothetical, would that really be a wise position to take? I mean, it wouldn't that needlessly antagonize the opposition to the point where they would be less likely to accept any of your proposals? Well, here's a little mini biography on Martin Luther King Jr., who was certainly a great man.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Martin Luther King Jr. was born on January 15, 1929, and graduated as the valedictorian of Crozier Theological Seminary in 1951. King became pastor of a Baptist church in Montgomery, Alabama, and later completed his PhD.
Martin Luther King was a religious man. He was a pastor and looked at racism and all of the so-called separate but equal laws and the terrible treatment of people of color in the United States. And he said, this is absolutely wrong. This is against God's will. This is not recognizing the dignity of peoples. And he made us all face that in very powerful ways.
On the eve of Rosa Parks' refusal to move to the back of a city bus in 1955, King was chosen to lead a citywide bus boycott. 2 years later, King and a group of civil rights activists formed the Southern Christian Leadership Conference to conduct nonviolent protests for civil rights.
When Martin Luther King led the Alabama boycott, that was a major turning point in the fight for civil rights. What you saw was people who had been fractionized coming together as one, walking together with others joining the fight. This was when people, America, the world, stood up and said, whoa, what are we looking at here? An amazing time.
Inspired by Gandhi's activism, King worked with the SCLC to organize black voters and civil rights protests. In 1963, King was arrested at a march in Alabama. During his prison time, King wrote a rebuttal to an article denouncing his methods. His longhand notes on the margins of the newspaper became known as Letter from Birmingham Jail and was famously republished and studied in colleges across the country.
Martin Luther King was a man of God who believed that that calling necessitated social change in the present, and he put his life on the line for that calling.
Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty! We are free at last!
On August 28th, 1963, King led more than 20,000 people in a massive demonstration at the Lincoln Memorial, where his speech, I Have a Dream, became a defining moment in civil rights history. Through his work, King helped pass the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and received the Nobel Peace Prize that same year.
Martin Luther King, according to Time in 1963, personified the civil rights movement. He took on one of the greatest challenges of his time and was one of the people that most influenced this very transformative time in American history.
Although King faced criticism from more militant black leaders, he continued his peaceful efforts toward both racial and economic justice. After delivering his I've Been to the Mountaintop speech at a rally in Memphis, King was assassinated the next day on April 4th, 1968, while standing at the balcony of his motel room.
King's assassination was, I think, devastating for many people. But there is also a rising level of organization, and many people, King's assassination galvanizes them into many kind of black power movements across the country, many anti-poverty movements. So it's both a moment of despair, but also a moment of political flowering.
Posthumously, King was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1977 and a Congressional Gold Medal in 2004. Today, the Martin Luther King Jr. National Holiday continues to be honored on the third Monday of every January.
And here is the speech that was given by Bobby Kennedy after Martin Luther King was assassinated.
I have some very sad news for all of you, and I think sad news for all of our fellow citizens and people who love peace all over the world. And that is that Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis, Tennessee. Martin Luther King dedicated his life to love and to justice between fellow human beings. He died
and the cause of that effort. In this difficult day, in this difficult time for the United States, it's perhaps well to ask what kind of a nation we are and what direction we want to move in. For those of you who are black, considering the evidence evidently is that there were white people who were responsible, you can be filled with bitterness and with hatred and a desire for revenge. We can move in that direction as a country, in greater polarization, black people amongst blacks and white amongst whites, filled with hatred toward one another. Or we can make an effort, as Martin Luther King did, to understand and to comprehend and replace that violence, that stain of bloodshed that is spread across our land, with an effort to understand, compassion, and love. For those of you who are black and are tempted to be filled with hatred and distrust of the injustice of such an act against all white people, I would only say that I can also feel in my own heart the same kind of feeling. I had a member of my family killed, but he was killed by a white man. But we have to make an effort in the United States. We have to make an effort to understand, to get beyond or go beyond these rather difficult times. A favorite poem, my favorite poet was Aeschylus. He once wrote, "Even in our sleep, pain which cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart, until in our own despair, against our will, comes wisdom through the awful grace of God." What we need in the United States is not division. What we need in the United States is not hatred. What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another, feeling of justice toward those who still suffer within our country, whether they be white or whether they be black. We can do well in this country. We will have difficult times. We've had difficult times in the past, but we will have difficult times in the future. It is not the end of violence. It is not the end of lawlessness, and it's not the end of disorder. But the vast majority of white people and the vast majority of black people in this country want to live together, want to improve the quality of our life, and want justice for all human beings that abide in our land. Dedicate ourselves to what the Greeks wrote so many years ago, to tame the savageness of man and make gentle the life of this world. Let us dedicate ourselves to that and say a prayer for our country and for our people. Thank you very much.
All right. Can you imagine Obama giving a speech like that? I have got a little bit of Sam Cooke for you here. A change is going to come. 721, Kelly O'Connell, AM Massachusetts 523-1450 to call in. It is the 16th of January, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We'll come back. And got some other news for you.
In a little tent, oh, and just like ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
All right, and so here are some concluding thoughts from Obama, and I just found this from January 5th, 2017. It is exactly what I predicted that Obama would say. Race relations are better. Yes, people are more concerned. I had to direct everybody's attention to how bad it was. Check it out.
The terrible toll that racism and discrimination and hate takes on families and communities. But that's part of how we learn and how we get better. We don't.
Hey, it's Kelly.
We don't benefit from pretending.
Can I put you on hold?
Racism doesn't exist and hate doesn't exist. We don't benefit from not talking about it. The fact that these things are being surfaced means we can solve them.
The other big question a lot of our viewers have is, has race relations gotten better or worse since you have been in office?
You know, I think that in some ways, like everything else, it's gotten better. And in some ways, I think we have surfaced tensions that were already there, but are getting more attention. Look, I came to Chicago in 1985 in the middle of council wars between Harold Washington and Eddie Berdoliak. Some of your viewers are too young to remember this stuff. I promise you, for the most part, race relations have gotten better.
So Obama, always presenting himself as the great genius that sees so much farther into reality than anybody else. So, of course, things are better. We do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Tony.
Tony, good morning to you. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
Well, you know, I grew up during the civil rights movement. In fact, in Boston, where I grew up, my parents were very active with the Kennedys when they were running for office. So I understand everything that Martin Luther King talked about, Bobby Kennedy talked about. You know, I lived through the time when blacks were coming north during the movement. And how they, in fact, blacks from the South would try to divide the blacks and the whites that got along up north. You know, I as a teenager, I fought against forced busing in the city of Boston. And Obama, we don't have leaders anymore that can bring this country together. I haven't seen it in years.
Well,
anyone who wants to unite us.
Does anybody really think that is not just still worshipful of Obama? Does anybody think this guy tried to bring America together?
And that's scary, Kelly, because the left actually believes this man is some type of messiah.
I don't know. I don't hear that as much anymore. But what specifically did Obama do to make the races closer together?
I haven't seen it, and I look for it. Being biracial, first of all, when he went as a black president, black person running for president, you know, that killed me inside, because when I found out he was biracial, I was like, great, this is a man who understands both sides of the equation.
Well, he was raised white. I mean, wasn't he? He was raised and part of his life in a Muslim country, but he was raised by his grandparents. His mother was some sort of a researcher, and she went off on all these trips, and she left him to be raised by his grandparents in Hawaii. I mean, he was raised by white people. This idea that he's had the black experience and he's up fighting for black people is complete nonsense, in my opinion.
Oh, it is. And, you know, and then that's an issue I have as well, because I grew up in projects, predominantly black projects with my family, and we faced a lot of discrimination from the blacks there. But we also faced it from white people when we went to white neighborhoods. And so my experiences are far different than his, far different. But I was hoping that he would somehow say, I have faced it both. sides and these people. We can do this together. Because in my family, I mean, I've got Arabs, Koreans, Mexican people of Mexican descent, black people. I mean, we grew up that people were people. If we had mentioned color in my home, you would have got smacked in the mouth.
So
my parents always were American. American.
Tony, what is the message in your phone call or the point, I guess? What are you trying to say to people?
What I'm trying to say is, you know, you have to look at people individually, like I was taught. Take people for who they are personally. Personally, don't look at a color and say this person is this, or Mexican person of Hispanic descent, say this person is that. You need to look at a person individually and take them for who they are, which is what Dr. King meant, content of character.
Yeah.
And we don't do that. We don't do that.
Well, I mean,
identity politics.
It doesn't really seem like Obama. I just think that Obama is part of this movement of people who hold themselves out to be super geniuses compared to anybody who disagrees with them, and which is why they disagree. And he, you know, it clearly Obama's approach to leadership is that he's right and the people who disagree with him are wrong, and it doesn't matter whether it appears that he's failed, because he always talks about this broad arc of history will bring us to justice. So, I mean, I think in this guy's mind, he's never going to accept that he failed because he doesn't believe it. He's on the right side of history, and all of his actions were meant to bring us closer to the truth. So if we're more upset over race relations now, that's good, because race relations in America stink.
Correct. And, you know, but the thing is, too, he's been pampered by the media, who they just ogle over this guy, and there's nothing he does that they question.
You know, and if you remember the first 4 years of his presidency up until the election, he acted like he was too good to be in the room of anyone who talked about politics. I mean, he's got a bizarre and a very juvenile view of life, you know, that he really has always presented himself to be beyond politics, which would be interesting if he was an effective politician, but he has absolutely just, soiled himself in terms of doing a good job.
He's also your typical elitist Ivy Leaguer.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm better than you because I went to an Ivy League school, and you need to listen to me because I know what's good for you. I know what's best for you.
Yeah, it's been a very strange journey. And I mean, I think that if America had to an opportunity to elect another person just like him, I think most people would run screaming, you know?
You would hope. But I have no faith in liberalism or the Democrats to do the right thing based on a person's ability to lead.
Yeah.
They're more into their agenda.
Yeah. Okay, Tony, thanks for the call. Have a good MLK day. Thanks for listening. Okay. All right, bye-bye. We'll be right back. 7:34, Martin Luther King Day. Sam Cooke, by the way, wrote this, arguably the greatest pop singer of all time and a very, very smart guy who had a tragic ending.
It's been too